I'm Farai Jadea, and this is News and Notes. What's the difference between a librarian and a hip-hop DJ? The answer is not as much as you'd think. Both are archivists, preserving and organizing the past, one through books, the other through music.
I said a hip-hop, you don't stop the rocker to the bang.
That's the seminal 1979 hit Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang. It's fueled by the sounds of another hit, Good Times by Chic. Pulling a bit of audio from one song and inserting it into another is called sampling. It's got huge cultural and legal implications. Now, Rapper's Delight was so far back in hip-hop history that the Sugar Hill Gang probably had to use real tape to loop the sample. Today, it's all done digitally. But in the 3 decades of hip-hop history, who owns and profits from samples has become very complicated. In 2005, Funkmaster George Clinton won back the rights to some of his albums, which he said he'd been swindled out of by old managers and lawyers. It was a victory for Clinton and the dozens of rappers who had sampled him, including Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. Clinton's old managers had sued rap group NWA for using a snippet from Clinton's Get Off Your Ass and Jam. The managers won the lawsuit, even though Clinton wanted to let rappers use his work. Before he won back the rights to his old albums, Clinton even named 2 new albums Sample Some of Diss and Sample Some of Dat. It's all part of the ongoing controversy over copyright law. You remember that whole thing with Napster? You know, file sharing? More recently, DJ Danger Mouse, now one half of Gnarls Barkley, mixed the Beatles' The White Album with Jay-Z's The Black Album. Danger Mouse didn't have the rights, and his so-called Gray Album has been stuck in legal limbo ever since. The only way to get it is to download it illegally, and that means we can't play it for you.
Fun, baby.
Sampling is, on one level, a form of file sharing, artist to artist. On another level, though, it's cultural history. Sampling a record documents and preserves its influence, passing the beat on to generations to come. Sampling knows no boundaries either, not racial, not cultural. Don't believe me? In 1997, Puff Daddy and Faith Evans sang a tribute to the Notorious B.I.G. called I'll Be Missing You.
Seems like yesterday we used to rock the show. I laced the track, you locked the flow. So far from hanging on the block of dough. Notorious, they got to know.
It sampled extensively from the 1983 hit Every Breath You Take by The Police. And it's not just about hip-hop. Take electronica artist Moby. On his hit Natural Blues, he samples a 1940s-era song called Trouble So Hard by Vera Hall.
Ooh, Lordy, my trouble so hard. Ooh, Lordy, my trouble so hard. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
Moby sold millions of copies of his album, as well as lucrative licenses to commercials and movies for songs like Natural Blues. Which brings us back to money. Today, most people who sample pay the original artist for those rights. Mainstream hip-hop artists can pay upwards of $50,000 for just a few seconds of another artist's sound. So, where does that leave lesser-known hip-hop artists? Often in a space where they can use the music they love and run the risk of a lawsuit, or use only riffs that other artists have chosen to share. Innovators like DJ Spooky, DJ Shadow, and Dan the Automator sample extensively, and some, like DJ Spooky, also advocate for open sharing of music and information. As part of our ongoing series on hip-hop, next week we'll talk with some of the DJs who make innovative use of samples and find out the joys and challenges of making new music out of old. Until then, you can sample some series interviews we've already aired. Just go to our website, npr.org/newsandnotes, and listen as much as you want. It's free.